Oh, that's very exciting. Do it. Should I? Should I be saying something?
Mine is lower than yours.
Oh, that's fair enough.
How about that?
How about that?
Wow, a twist. okay. Well, I think it should be all right. But yeah, you look great, and I look low. But
thank you. I'm glad. I'm always happy to look great.
It's fine. All right. So let's get it started. Would you like to be referred to as Rustage, as Daniel, as something else?
I mean, Rustage is fine. Rustage is my last name. So.
Okay. All right.
So it's still kind of my name.
So it's your name. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Well, do you prefer to be referred to as Mega Ran, Mr. Ran?
Mr. Ran?
The hero Mega Ran?
No. Ran, I think, is okay.
Ran?
Yeah, I like Ran because it's nice and short.
Yeah. Ran?
Just Ran.
Just Ran?
All right, let me make sure my phone's off. Okay.
Lord Ran?
Lord Ran, I like.
Lord Ran, yeah.
That's it.
Lord His Ran. Royal Highness.
That's the new moniker. All right.
Count Ran.
Let's see. All right, check, check, check. All right. Okay, let's get started. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, those beyond the binary, thank you so much for joining us for today's special episode of
Special
Random Encounters. It's special because I have a special guest.
That's me. I'm a special guest.
My guest is here. Let me introduce you.
Oh, okay. Do that.
My special guest is a rapper.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
High praise.
It's what the world needs. A rapper. Not just any rapper, but a very accomplished, intelligent, amazingly profound, and dope rapper from the
surprised.
UK.
Thank you.
Please.
Those are actually high compliments, which is just surprising.
Surprising.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Well, I'm speaking to Rustage right now. Rustage, how are you?
I'm great. I'm good.
Awesome. Where are you right now?
I am in the world or in in London?
Okay. All right.
London, England? Or do you mean like I'm in my sort of studio room space?
No, in the world. House. Okay. You are in London. Are you born and raised in London?
Yes. Okay. That's me, English boy.
Nice, nice. So, Rustage, I first heard of you a few years back on the YouTubes from your very awesome raps. Typically, I think what I had heard was some anime raps at first, and I was like, whoa, this guy's very dope.
That's surprising, because
initially,
back then, I was garbage.
Well, I don't know if it was like day one, but it was at least a couple years ago.
Anything from that wasn't from this year is garbage.
Wow. Like 2021, really?
Yeah, it's got to be 2021. I've made some decent songs this year. Before that,
nothing. But the first UK-based rapper of the YouTube variety that I had heard of was Dan Bull.
Yeah, of course.
And Dan Bull is considered like the OG to a lot of folks here in the States. Is it like that in the UK as well?
Well, he was my personal inspiration when I was a child.
Nice.
Like I was like 11 or 12. I was listening to Dan Bull, and yeah, like if it wasn't for Dan Bull, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. He's definitely one of my major inspirations, which is really crazy because now he's my friend,
and like I've been to his house. For people to go from like heroes to like friends and contemporaries, it's a fun journey.
It really is.
So let's talk about it.
Well, the first time, I think before that, my first ever interaction with you was I tweeted at you because you were going to perform at a London anime convention in like 20, it might have been 2017, something like that.
I've done the London Anime Con a few times. And
you didn't actually do it. You were going to do it. And I was going to do it. And I was like, oh my gosh, Mega Ran's going to perform at the same place I am. I'm going to send him a tweet and say, hey, I'm performing at the same thing you are. And then you replied saying, no, I'm not anymore. Good luck, though.
Well, I hope that show went well.
It went okay.
You know, there's always a lot of moving parts in UK tours for us, so we had to make sure that we could make the travel happen between different cities. Yeah, yeah. We were on trains. This is when I didn't really know how to tour the UK. So I was afraid to drive there. Still am. So we would just hop trains and buy train tickets. And
I mean,
just...
trains is perfect. You got trains all over the place in England.
Yeah, you can get anywhere on the train, but you also have to carry your suitcase, your luggage, your performance gear, everything. And we could literally be going from, I don't know, Cardiff, Wales, London, you know, like it's sometimes some long trips, and we have to make sure that our timing is correct. So that particular tour, I think that it just wasn't logistically possible.
I think it was probably a good idea as well, because it wasn't, the venue was not suited for live performance.
I hear that a lot at conventions.
Because they do, a lot of anime conventions, they just don't, they're obviously, that's not their priority. Their priority is running an anime convention. It's not to run a rap concert. So a lot of key places just don't have the facilities for it.
No, now I have to start writing them out like contracts and writers and be like, hey, do you have a sound system? Do you have a microphone? Do you have a person who is like experienced with sound who will not leave the stage area to go and watch the masquerade, which is going on at the same time as my show?
That's the other thing. They always put it at the same time as the other big event. Literally that my performance was at the same time as like the cosplay competition.
Yeah, I had to put that in my contracts now, that I don't play at the same time as the
cosplay competitions. Yeah,
it's the reason everyone's there.
Yeah, like there's only a few big events that people do at convention. I haven't performed at a convention in a while because of COVID.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to doing it again next year now that I'm actually good.
Nice. It would be like playing at the Super Bowl. But like, no, you're not playing at halftime. You're playing during the kickoff.
During the game in another venue.
During the game in the basement.
It's like, and they could choose to come down if they want to. Stop watching the game. It's it's literally it.
Yeah, that's how it is. So yeah, I had to, that was a bit of a tough, I would say, transition for me, going from like small club shows to playing anime conventions, where it's like, man, there's so many people here. And it's like, well, they're not necessarily here to see you. So calm down.
You are
a thing for them to do if they don't want to do the main things.
Yeah.
So, because they may just want to go to the main cafe, or they may want to go to the arcade.
A lot of conventions don't know where to place rap things time-wise, because what they tend to have is they have like late night raves and then midday music performances, like singers and stuff. And for a rapper, it's like, well, it's neither a late night rave, nor is it like a sit down music performance. You're either put in either one of those two categories and it doesn't really work out. And a lot of the times you'll end up performing in front of a bunch of people who are like sitting down and just watching you, like it's like a classical performance whilst you're trying to do your rap show.
Yep.
And that could be very like tonally mismatched.
Oh, absolutely.
What you're trying to provide.
The first convention I played at, I think they had like a karaoke machine set up. That was my sound system. They were like, just plug up to this and
just start rapping.
Just rap. And I'm like, oh boy. And it was like in an auditorium. So there's like seats everywhere.
Yes. So it's like an auditorium. Like,
yeah, it was like a lecture hall where they have the seats going up,
you know,
and like in the bowl. And I was just like, whoa, this is not going to work. So it was pretty much a disaster. So I have seen conventions slowly kind of adjusting to the different styles.
I think they will, especially because kind of this whole nerdcore stuff is gaining traction in that sort of community.
Oh, yeah.
With like absolutely. Anime and
so,
stuff.
I'm glad you mentioned it. So when's the first time you heard the term nerdcore?
Oh, I must have been very young. Right. Listen, what I've done is I've compartmentalized nerdcore in my head now. And I've sort of like, I have I always sort of refer to it as like two waves, like first wave nerdcore and second wave nerdcore. And I don't know if you think the same way, but you obviously... You guys, you had your big old nerdcore pioneers, and you had a lot of, you know, you and MC Lars and Frontalot, and, you know, all people I listen to, obviously. I listen to your music.
No, thank you.
Am I like Sumimasen I don't know why I like that song a lot. I really like Sui Masen. It's always in my head.
It was a very silly song, but
it was very fun.
It came to me being in Japan and always being in people's way.
yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, I'm always in the way.
It felt to me. I felt that. But then there's like the second wave, which is like the more YouTube orientated ones that kind of came later, and they kind of have different audiences, but they're the same. You know, they're just rapping about nerdy things.
Yeah,
but
we're all branches on the same tree.
I remember I was at an anime convention, and I was quite young, 13, 14. I'd already known Dan Ball by this point, but I maybe didn't know the term nerdcore, but someone on their phone was like, hey, you should listen to this. And I was like, okay, great. And it was this guy, and he was rapping over, I think, a Mega Man beat. It was you. I was just saying it was you. He showed me you. He was like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. And I think that's when I knew the term nerdcore. But I think I lumped, back then when I was a kid, I would lump nerdcore in with stuff like Professor Elemental and like things that are like chap hop or any sort of like alternative hip hop in that way. Even someone like Doc Brown, who's like a comedy rapper, people like that, I just lumped them all in the same sort of vein in my head because I was a kid. But I think obviously my first exposure to that was Dan Ball. Before I started rapping about video games and before I started rapping about anime, I used to, when I was a kid, I'd say about 13, 14, I used to rap about something else, which I feel like in every interview I ever done, I have to bring up at some point because people always ask how they got started. But I used to, do you remember the show, you know, the whole My Little Pony thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to do raps about that.
Wait, you were a brony rapper?
Yeah, back when I was like 13, 14, so it wasn't as bad.
That's amazing. Right? Were you the only person doing this?
Brony rap? No, brony rap was actually surprisingly huge. At least brony music was surprisingly huge. Mm-hmm. It's how I got my start. I don't think there's many brony rappers that are still doing stuff. Some of the brony musicians, like The Living Tombstone, and he's the biggest name I could think of. There's a couple others who were brony musicians and now are just like regular musicians. The Living Tombstone is obviously the biggest name because he's huge. Mm-hmm. But there are other brony rappers like Mike the Microphone and others. And a lot of them have not really continued rapping. But mm-hmm. Would you still consider that nerdcore? Rapping about,
I mean, it kind of is.
Absolutely. Yeah, it kind of is. So if absolutely. That's the case, then I've been aware of nerdcore, but never called it that since I was really young.
Wow. So you didn't start like a lot of rappers where you were just trying to emulate what you thought rap should sound like.
Oh, no. You know, the reason why I started rapping was because, and I've told this story many times, it was because I was a kid. I was about 12. And there were these two people in a Skype call, person A and person B. Person A was rapping really badly, and person B said, your rapping is so bad, even Rustage could rap better than you, because I was a kid. Like, they were using me as a butt of a joke. And I was like, maybe I can. I'd like to try. And I performed my first ever rap, and it wasn't that bad. And some people just encouraged me to keep going, and I was just doing it for fun.
So you were challenged in a way.
I was challenged like, in a way.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I'm not that bad.
I'm not.
And then, boom, it happened.
It just
so talk about the moment that rap became the, I guess if I could say the career, I guess the you know, the vocation for Rustage. Was there a moment? Was there a series of moments where you were like, this is kind of paying better than anything else, or this is, you know, this is keeping
well,
me.
Okay, so
that was what it was for me. I'll tell you mine afterwards, but I'm curious. So, what was that moment like, or was it a series of moments?
I started really getting into music more, and as I was going through school, and going into like college and university, I started I felt like I enjoy rapping, I enjoy making my music, but this is a skill that I have, and if I want to make a career out of it, I probably just got to go into like music. I wanted to do like music for video games and television. I thought that was what my career was going to be. Mm-hmm. So that's what I kind of studied a little bit at university, like music business and things like that. But whilst I was doing that, I was still uploading music onto YouTube, you know, on a weekly basis almost. And then after I graduated university, I was like, okay, I know what I really want to do is like YouTube music stuff. That's like, so I'm going to give myself a year to like really work at that, upload every week, etc. And it was mid 2019. I had a song that just blew up for me. And then I continued to release consistently from there. And I think I managed to combine the music as a thing with like the ecosystem of YouTube, where you have to produce frequent content and do stuff like that. There's a lot of different wheelhouses that you've got to combine to do that sort of thing successfully. And I felt like I took little bits and pieces from what I've seen other people do and tried to be consistent, even though my quality wasn't quite there yet. And it was like mid 2019, I started to blow up. And by the end of the year, I was like, well, this is just my career now. And I feel like it annoys some people because I have never, this is the only work I've never had another job because I'm still quite young. I don't know. I just turned 23.
Okay.
So I graduated university and then gave myself time to do this. And almost immediately it became my work.
Why would somebody be mad at that?
I don't know. I just feel like some people are like, well, you never had to struggle.
Well,
I was working at McDonald's for 3 years and
I guess there is some level of struggle to, I don't know, that tends to come with the DIY, you know, music career choice that I guess people assume that everyone has experienced. But I'm sure your struggles have been completely different. And I think that
Just work a lot.
Yeah, it's just working. Like the pressure to produce
a song music every week.
Weekly.
Well, I produce everything myself, right? So I produce it all.
Writing the rhymes, but making the beat. Are you also mixing, mastering, stuff too?
I do pretty much everything besides the video itself. I just...
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's extreme pressure that I know nothing about in my 20 years of doing this. You know, like attempting, you know... The YouTube grind, as they call it, is, you know, a very brave and scary journey.
But it was also fun. I enjoyed it.
That's also fun. I think that's a really
like
big
a video game.
Part of it.
It's a little bit like my favorite video games were like these like tycoon management sim video games where you're doing stuff and you can see things passively grow in the background as you're doing things. And uploading stuff to YouTube was like playing one of those games, except for it had real world benefits.
Right. Instead of just, you know, experience points, you're also getting some real world benefits.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the pandemic and what has that done for your production, I guess, rate, your work of, you know, like of late. Like what did the pandemic time do for you professionally?
Well, I don't know. Like pre-pandemic, I'm not that much of an outgoing person anyway. So I don't think much changed in terms of how I created my stuff. I mean, I just was forced to only be able to create music because I couldn't really go outside. I don't know. I have had like an improvement this year. Like my last like 10 or so songs I put out this year, some of my best work. And I don't know if that improvement would have come about with or without the pandemic. It's just kind of a nature of time. I don't think I'm really that naturally good at anything. I just do stuff for a long time and just work at it. That if like, I know, cause I've technically been writing rap since I was like 13. So you'd imagine that's like 10 years. You'd imagine I'd be a lot better by now, but,
Yeah, with time and repetition, I do believe that things, I believe you improve for sure. Whether it's your speed, whether it's your, you know, technique, you know, completion time of songs or whatever. I feel like there's definitely visible, tangible improvements.
I do have I think the better I get, the longer things take, because obviously my standards improve of my own writing. And so it becomes more frustrating to write stuff, and writing stuff takes a lot longer.
Of course. Have you found yourself, when you're creating weekly content, the revision and editing process, has that maybe changed?
Yeah, I like that. You will spot tiny mistakes in a lot of my songs because I can't really. Even in my latest song, I'm really proud of the Gojo rap. That I don't know if you probably haven't heard it, but there's this one bit where it pans the left and right, but I think I forget to like cut out one of the instruments properly. Like, you know, when you cut off the instrument, but you haven't quite cut it right, and it plays like the little bit of the sound of the next drum or something, and it's just like a like noise, like the uptick into a drum. I hadn't quite cut it neatly enough, and I could just hear that small like noise in my right ear every time that goes by. And you just, there's lots of small things like that that gonna happen
that the layperson probably wouldn't notice, you know.
Oh yeah, of course not.
It's gonna eat you up, but they're not gonna notice.
But it's reassuring because I listen to other people's songs who do the same things, like Fable for example, and I sometimes hear small things like that in his music, where like a mouse click, you know, that's a good example. And it just kind of a little bit reassuring that
doesn't
happen to everyone.
When you're performing, when you're creating at a high level that quickly, you know, it's generally, you know, natural that there's some imperfections. Have you ever had an imperfection so much that you were like, I need a do-over? We're deleting this. I'm doing it over.
I haven't. I would never do it, even if I thought that, because it just would fuck with everything.
Ever finish a song and be like,
my biggest
you put it out and then you're like,
I would be.
Maybe you put it out and you're like, I could do that better. I'm going to do it again with a new verse.
I just can't. I just don't have the time to do that. Dwell on stuff like that, because it's if I release a song and I'm like, oh, I could have done that better, I just have to be like, well, I'll just make the next one better that comes out next week. But I think my biggest issues is when I've mispronounced a word, and there's my Ichigo rap, which sucks anyway. The whole song's bad, but I released it back in 2019, I think. The chorus of it, huh?
I think I heard that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I heard that.
I'm so sorry. I'm making a better one this year at some point. But the chorus of it, I repeat the word bankai, you know, hit it with the bankai. But I pronounce the word wrong. I pronounce it bankai, which is not how it's pronounced. And just pronouncing a word wrong is kind of fine if it's in the verse. But the whole chorus is me repeating the word over and over again. And I'm pronouncing it wrong every single time. And that just pained everyone, and I hated it, and I just can't listen to it. So it's probably one of my biggest mistakes, and that's because I read the manga. I didn't watch the anime. I read the manga, and I just didn't really think about it.
Oh man, that's why songs like Sumimasen, I have my Japanese friends look over them.
Yeah, well, that's what I do now. That's what I would do now.
Am I pronouncing this right? What's that?
Right, you know? Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a good rule of thumb. So I normally. This interview has not gone like they normally go.
Oh, I apologize.
We don't talk about, you've kind of hijacked it, but that's okay.
No, I apologize. I'm so sorry. What are we supposed
hijacked,
to be doing?
Derailed. It's all good.
I apologize.
No, it's fine, dude. Normally, we talk about what you're into. So I ask your power rating, PWR, which stands for playing, watching, and reading.
Reading.
So
sick.
What is Rustage playing right now?
Right now or just in my life?
I don't mean at 1:41 p.m. on the 6th.
No. Do you mean like a game that I'm currently like in the middle of playing? Or do you mean like what is my favorite game?
What are you playing right now?
Okay, right now? Oh, fuck. shit. A lot of games. Oh, Crusader Kings 3. I'm going to say that. Crusader Kings 3 is my big game that I'm most invested. Do you know that game?
No, I don't.
It is.
Tell me about it.
It is a grand strategy, I guess like a medieval king simulator strategy game. And it takes place in, you gotta look it up. It looks like you're looking it up. it's one of those like strategy management games where you play as a king in like 1066. You know, you could play as like a duke or a count. Like I could play as like a duke in the Kingdom of Poland and then use espionage and democracy and warfare to make my way into the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. And it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of different ways you could play it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's my kind of game.
Okay, sounds really cool.
I do want to say my favorite game of all time is called Nine Persons, 9 Hours, 9 Doors. It's a DS game, and it's underrated. It's very fun, and yes. It's a game where you're trapped on a ship with 9 other people, and it's a sinking ship, and there's like escape room puzzles, but you're trying to figure out why you're there, and you know.
Wow. Okay. I've never heard of that either. All right.
Yeah, so it's quite new stuff. It's quite an obscure game, but yeah.
That's cool. All right. So what are you watching right now?
Watching right now? Not a lot of stuff I'm watching per se. I'm going to say Taskmaster, the UK show Taskmaster. I'm doing a, I'm watching through all of the seasons of that, kind of rewatching some of them, but then watching some for the first time. If you don't know what Taskmaster is, do you?
I don't.
It's a British show where you get a bunch of comedians and they have to perform various tasks that are set for them. And they're kind of like stupid stuff. Like they'll have like a mayor of a town in England. It'll be like, the task is impress this mayor, and whoever impresses him the most wins. It's difficult to pull. Draw a picture of a horse whilst riding a horse.
Meh.
And the task can be really anything. Okay. And they all film it, and then later on they sit in a studio and they watch the task back, and then Greg Davis, who's a task master, has to evaluate them and say who gets the points or whatever. And it's very funny. They have a lot of good chemistry. They always do. And it's the same contestants for each episode of a season. Mm-hmm. So there'll be like 8 or so episodes in a season. It's the same contestants. Okay. It's fun. It's fun.
All right. Sounds fine. I'm going to see if I can find it in the States.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Make sure you watch the UK version. There is a US version, but it's so bad.
Oh, God.
You will not enjoy it.
Yeah.
They made one season, and then they were like, this was not a good idea.
Wow. Okay. I'll stick with the UK version.
Yeah. I say.
And what are you reading?
I just finished the Mistborn trilogy. Sorry, my camera. I'll turn that back on. I know. You expect me to say talk about anime and manga when you watching or reading. I do read a lot of manga, and I do read more manga than watch anime. And I will say my favorite manga is One Piece, and I've read all of that, and I'm currently reading each chapter as it comes out.
Okay. But I try not to give you the typical, what's your favorite? What's this? What's the best thing? No, it's more questions about what's happening right now.
I'm currently actually reading books, like fantasy books. I just finished the Mistborn trilogy by Brandon Sanderson, and it was very, very good. The third book's my favorite. It was really, really fun. And I am currently reading The Blade Itself by Joe Abercrombie of the First Law trilogy. You've heard of that? Cool.
Yes.
I'm about halfway through, maybe 60% of the way through the first book at the moment. Nice. And it's pretty good so far, but it's all very set up stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
So now moving into advice. What is the best advice that someone's given you? And then we'll move on to your advice for creatives.
What's the best advice that someone has given me? Oh, I don't actually know. I feel like a lot of the times I just self-motivated, and I'm not. Because I don't think there's any piece of... I'm sure people have given me advice and it's been good, but there's no piece of advice that immediately springs to mind like, oh yeah, that's what I shaped my life around.
Yeah. Well, you're in a very, very interesting and interesting position where your vocation is not one that a lot of people can understand or relate to, let alone advise you on. You know, there's probably only a handful of people who do what you do, and you know, at a full-time level that you know. So there's not a lot, you know. I feel like what Nerdcore is doing today is definitely traversing a lot of uncharted land.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes it very exciting, you know, because there really are no limits. And I think that when we, as the old school Nerdcore guys came up, we kind of knew that there was a ceiling, you know. It's like, well, we know that you'll maybe get 100 people into a building, but you won't play like Madison Square Garden or you won't get a Grammy or anything like that, you know. But I do feel like we're in an age now where there are almost no limits, you know. Every day I see a friend of mine, you know, charting on Billboard, charting on iTunes charts, charting on, you know, million plays on Spotify, you know, like, so there are.
As we transition more into a digital age.
Oh, yeah. I think that moving towards, you know, the digital age has benefited, you know, online,
of course,
producers, Yeah. It was like, now we're playing on our own field. It's not like we got to play away games all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
and I think that was the thing about nerdcore in general, is that I know that a lot of you guys did a lot of live shows and live performances and stuff, but a lot of the audience for nerdy things are typically introverted people, right? And utilizing the platform that those introverted people are more likely to be on, which is just the internet, is kind of like beneficial.
Oh yeah. And it's interesting to think that we didn't, no one fathomed that back in, you know, maybe the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, we're all computer programmers. Everyone's on the computer. Everybody's mm-hmm. online. But there wasn't necessarily, you know, at least for a lot of us, you know, the idea was, if you're a rapper, you play live rap shows, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you put your hands in the air like you just don't care. You know, like, live rap shows are what rappers do. So I think a lot of us kind of found that to be like maybe the easy path, or so the path that made the most sense at the time.
It's the path that you knew.
It's the path you know. So it makes the most sense because that's what we're
familiar
with. The
path I knew was always online content creation, because I grew up with YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with that sort of thing, that even if I wasn't doing like music, like rap music, I imagine I still would be making content in some way. Like, if my passion didn't evolve from music stuff, I imagine I might be one of those people who's making like video game reviews or doing, you know, any sort of YouTube content creation. I probably wouldn't have been as successful with it, but I would have still done it because I like creating things.
Gotcha. So, you haven't seen any sort of a slowdown in your, you know, your process through the pandemic and quarantining, because it's
already
what
way.
You were doing.
Yeah, that's just what I was doing.
Yeah, so it kind of worked out. Like, I always say the same thing to my wife. Like, well, as long as the internet doesn't go out, my job will continue.
Yeah.
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 Like, as long as there's internet, I'll be fine. So, yeah, I think a motivating story. It's a positive. As many times as I talk to creators, they're like, man, you know, I had this plan for 2020 and this plan, and then the pandemic said,
well,
no.
I did have a plan, I was going to perform at a convention in 2020, mm-hmm. A pretty decently big anime convention, because it was the person who ran the convention was just a fan of like this anime rap stuff that he had found. He wanted a bunch of us to perform at his convention. It was pretty decently big, and obviously that got canceled, but I'm sure those opportunities will come up again. And
oh yeah, and in so terms now that of things are opening back up, I'm not sure how they're doing in London, but you know, things here are,
yeah,
at least for, you know, for vaccinated folks, kind of back
opening
to
up
sort
yeah.
of normal. So ish. How's yeah. that in London?
I think it's roughly the same, but we'll see. Hey, Boris, I don't want to get into my government, but Boris Johnson has said he's going to be opening up stuff, and there's been some backlash about it, just a bunch of stuff, issues.
So are there concerts happening again now and things like that?
I have no idea. I haven't really looked into it, unfortunately.
Okay. But I had a friend who went to, they're in England, I'm not sure where, but they went to like a beer festival, a beer garden mm-hmm. or something. And,
yeah, I'm sure there's like outdoor stuff.
It was outdoors, yeah, so that was okay. Yeah. So I think outdoor things are pretty okay. I have some friends going to the UK to tour, I think, in like October.
I think everyone's kind of expecting things to be relatively normal by the end of this year. Mm-hmm. I think the worry comes from people trying to expedite that process so that they can enjoy the summer.
Right.
Yeah. In terms of your first question, though, about the advice, I did think of, it's not an advice someone gave me, but it's an advice I read, and it is the advice that I tend to give, which is, people do get lucky, but the harder you work, the luckier you get. Is my 10th advice.
That's a good one.
Lucky things do happen to people. I feel like I did get very lucky, but I would have never got lucky if I didn't create content, if I didn't work hard, then that opportunity would have never happened. So the harder you work, the more opportunities to be lucky it happen.
Wow. That's true. I absolutely agree with that. That's a good one.
Yeah. So that.
All right. So I'm going to end with some silly questions to get you out of here. What's the last meal you had at a restaurant?
Oh, fuck. I haven't been to a restaurant since
I know.
At a restaurant?
Like, if you knew this was going to be the last meal you had in a year and a half.
Oh, wait. It was when I was in Japan then. I was literally in Japan right before COVID happened. Mm. And then I came home and then it was COVID time. So I didn't go to a restaurant. So it would have been the last thing I ate whilst I was in Japan at a restaurant, which I imagine was probably just, it was probably just ramen. There you go.
That's a great last meal.
Yeah.
Have you ever rode a horse?
No, I don't think I ever will. If that was a follow-up question.
Nah. All right. Most of these are outdoor questions, and nobody's outdoors. So
you can still. I mean, I've been outdoors for the majority of my life.
Yeah, that's true.
Surely these it's last just 2 years.
Now having to think back for a year and a half. Would you relive high school if you could?
No. Why would I?
I don't think anybody would. Well, there may, you know, there might be some people who might.
I never went to high school. I went to secondary school.
Well, fair enough. That's different. All right. Are you a gatherer or a hunter?
I play Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so you don't play Magic the magic. Hunting.
I would say, oh, fuck. In what way? This is an esoteric question.
Yeah, it's however you, interpret it. To me, it's like, I think, like, are you a person who goes out, grabs opportunities, or are you a person who just, when you get something cool, you kind of save it, and you savor it, or are you constantly hunting for the next conquest?
But I feel like, for me, it's a variable. It's not consistent. There's sometimes I'm like one and sometimes I'm like the other, which I know is such a boring answer, but it's like I feel like it's stressful to know, you know, when people have ambition and then they achieve that goal, then they immediately are like, now I've got to go on to the next thing. I've got to achieve an even higher goal. That's such a stressful mindset if I know that the moment I achieve this goal, I won't be fulfilled. I've got to get the next thing. So I'm in a position where what I want to do is know that when I've achieved my goal, let myself actually enjoy having achieved that goal instead of being stressed out about trying to, like, I got to relax at some point. And that's the mode I'm currently in now is... I just don't want to be overwhelmed. So I guess I am a hunter until I am full, and then I will gather. And then when I get hungry again, I might be a hunter again.
Okay, that's a good answer. All right, what was the last text message you sent?
Well, okay, what do you mean? Because do you count things like Discord messages and Twitter messages?
Sure.
Well, if we count Twitter messages, it's my message to you to join here.
I don't count Twitter messages.
Do you count Discord messages?
I would say
messages?
A private message to... I would say a text should count the most. Thank you for asking for clarity, though.
Well, but I mean, literally all of my texts... I don't text people. All of my texts are like from companies being like, your package has arrived. I'm going to say... Let's go you sent and let's go
into a difficult question.
It is because I don't know what specifically. Oh, I guess it would have been if we're counting Discord, it would be me messaging this group chat of Discord saying there should be a hook, I think. It's not a cipher, but it does need work. Cutting in half would make the whole song too short. I think I just need something different and more interesting for the second half. I think I might do a second half that will involve everyone. There you go.
Okay. All right. Now we have to wonder what that's about. Well, we know it's not a cipher. All right.
No.
So I have to ask, because our collaboration was on a Cypher track, which I thought was awesome. You gathered a great group of folks and everybody killed it. Such a fun track. There's been a lot of chat on the Twitters about Cyphers. What is your opinion of them?
If you want to do them, it's okay. Right.
Okay. So I'll explain for maybe the layperson, or I'll give you further clarity for this question. So Cyphers are usually collections of maybe four, five or more artists on a topic. They all get together and rap, not usually with a chorus.
Yeah. There tends to not be a hook.
Yeah. So it's usually not a hook. It's just a beat and people rapping. You know, this comes from the very
one after another
oral tradition of hip hop ciphers, where people just sit on the corner in a circle and everybody just spit their best verse.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
These ciphers are usually based in anime or
cartoon, we tend to do it where we
manga,
where each person represents a different character.
Yeah, so people will pick a character, we will pick a show or thing like that, and then we all get together, have fun, and it's basically a showcase.
Yeah.
So everybody just has their fun. So
I really like the idea of having lots of different people on a track because I like hearing variety in different rappers. A lot of the songs I really liked when I was younger were, I don't even know if they were ciphers, but they were like big projects with lots of different rappers on them. Yeah. And I like how they would, and I actually preferred having the shorter verses and switching between people quite frequently. I know a lot of people don't like that, but I really like that. And I made some kind of pseudo ciphers before I did the whole anime ones. I had a song called Fireball that had 9 people on it. And then I made an anime cipher, my first anime cipher, which was the Akatsuki one. And it was a lot of fun. But it also is a very popular concept. People really liked it. People like these things. And people could tell that they're popular. And so I kept making more and more of them. And they're fun. And I like them conceptually. I think now I don't like them as much because I prefer songs. I prefer songs with a chorus and the whole aspect of going to a song. And also with a cipher, I'm putting too much of the quality of the song in other people's hands. It's a little more stressful. Like, I'm only doing a little bit of it, like the instrumental and my verse. Like 90% of the track is other people. And like, if half of them don't do that great of a job, then that's going on my... like, it's a bit more of a stressful situation for me. But I think ciphers are cool, and I don't, if anyone wants to make a cipher, it's a fun thing to do. But I will say that if you're like smaller and you're starting out, like if you're only doing like these big cipher projects, it's not going to be helpful. From like a business standpoint, there's different mindsets here. From a business standpoint, it's good to have a repertoire of your own actual music and then do ciphers every so often as like a big thing. But from a standpoint of if you're just doing this for fun and you're not trying to make it like a career out of it or anything, then literally just do what you want. You can make a cipher. You can make a million ciphers. Who cares? Nobody's stopping you from doing that. That's completely fine. And a cipher can be good and a cipher can be bad just as well as anything can be. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. If it's good, it's good, you know? Yeah, and
might as well. The annoying thing is a lot of people request them to me. And I'm kind of tired of making them because they're a lot of work, but not in like a mute. They're not a lot of like music work sense. Well, they are. They're a lot of work, but not in any of the fun ways. The fun thing about making music is you get to produce this instrumental, you get to write the lyrics, record it, and make this song. But with a cipher, it's all kind of the boring aspects, which is trying to organize lots of people and mixing. You're just mixing lots of people's verses and trying to get everything sounding right, and it's not fun, and I don't enjoy it, so I don't really want to do them.
No, as much as I love to collaborate, the more voices that get on the track makes it
more difficult.
So much difficult.
I think 2 to 3 is good. I do these trio tracks with my friends Schwabity and Connor Quest, where the three of us are the three British people that rap like anime nerdcore. And we do these trio tracks, and they're always the most fun to do. But the big cipher ones have just become less and less fun. But also they're very highly requested. People request cipher ideas all the time. And the way that people request them make it seem like they don't understand how much effort gets put into these things. They're just like, oh, this Friday, could you just do this cipher? And it's like 30 people. It's like, yeah, what do you mean?
Can't do that in a week.
A lot of people don't understand how much work goes into some of the music. And I feel like I'm a little at fault because I did make songs on a weekly basis. So people kind of assume, oh, it must be easy if you could do it on a weekly basis and not realize that I'm like fucking working to death trying to do it.
Yeah. So that leads me to another question, and this could be the last one. Yeah. I've heard another YouTube creator say that in the process of creating and being consistent and being successful, there are some, I guess, obviously sacrifices that need to be made. And some of them are maybe creating content that you may not be 100% enthusiastic about.
Well, whether here's the thing. Okay.
The artist, the whether thing. It's the, you know, the beat, show. Whether it's the anime, whether it's the, you know, the manga. So let me finish the question. So
sorry, there's,
so when they said that when they had that issue, they've created this, a mentality where it's one for you and one for me. Now, meaning like, I'm going to give you what you want this week. And then next week, I'm going to give you my favorite thing. And then I'm going to really, you know, so that way I'll enjoy it a little more. So that was their mentality that helps them get through maybe weekly content that they're maybe not as, you know, enthusiastic about. Is that an issue with you? And is there a mentality that you take to approach that?
A lot of a lot of anime characters that even if I don't like the character or I don't like the show or I'm not enthusiastic about the person, a lot of the time they're still really fun to write about. And I think the aspect, what I really enjoy about the sort of music that I do is taking a character and trying to, when I make the instrumental, trying to make an instrumental that sounds like that character and then write the lyrics around. Like, it's really fun to do that. And it's, I enjoy it more than just writing music about me. That's why I do it this so much. And so even if it's a character from an anime I don't like Kirito from Sword Art Online, it's fun to still write about it. So I've never had a situation where I'm writing a song about a subject that I'm like, I'm not enjoying this. I don't like this. Because I make it fun in my own way. What I do though is because I want to prevent rapping about the same stuff is I do like this instead of a me for you, I do a kind of risky safe method where I cover something I know is relatively popular and then do something new, and you know, I go back and forth. I cover something that's more safe and something that's more risky, and sometimes the risky stuff does well and sometimes the safe stuff does badly, but in general I have that mindset. But yeah, I've never had the situation where I've been unenthusiastic about something. The only time I have been is when I've made something shit and I'm like, I don't know how to make this not shit.
That's fair. All right, so we're going to end there. I just want to thank you for your time. Also, let you give out some plugs to where people can find you and your music and all that good stuff.
I'm Rustage. I mean, I'm Rustage on YouTube. I'm Rustage everywhere. Rustage. My Twitter is Daniel Rustage, which is just my full name. My Twitch is Rustage_. It's Spotify. Just look up Rustage. That's me.
And there it is. All right. I want to end with a song. So what song do you think I should end with?
Wait, one of my songs?
Yeah.
Just my latest one. Just go with the Gojo rap.
All right.
I don't know if you've listened to it yet.
It's the Gojo Rap by Rustage. And this is another episode of Random Encounters. Be safe. Thanks for listening. Let us know what you thought of the episode, and we'll see you online.
Whoa. Peace.
All right. That's it, buddy.
Very exciting.
I'm a pop by like hello, oh no. Ain't afraid to die, then let's go, Jogo. Body out to five like Keno. Get a souvenir, that's a good memento. Rory, there's no story. Didn't even know it would get so gory. I'm a bottom op like laundry. Look at the red on the walls like it's Balamori, bitch. I'm turning the table like synthesis. I got dudes hunting me like I'm a clitoris. Why we're so intricate, no, I'm definitive. Powers like Mugen, my roster is limitless. Or is it infinite? Maybe unlimited. So many titles, don't know what my image is. Cause I'd be leaving them dead or an invalid. Fuck those above me, they're cowards and hypocrites. Papa got a pedal hotter than a kettle magma. Pedal to the metal, I'll be leaving. been there with asthma. You are not a vessel, you don't even really matter. On another level, do you even read the manga, huh? I don't even anger, huh? You are all amateurs. Cussing me, how they be loving me. Or taking shots like a camera.
All who try for me, count your time, count your sheep. And should you die in your sleep, pray the Lord. Yeah, I'm running in blind, fighting out my mind.
Don't even have to try.
Look at all the things sacrificed.
You wanna run, but you cannot hide. Life is a game and I'm rolling the dice. Don't wanna play, then get out of my sight. Better make way when I'm running in blind. Hot and sweet, no cappuccino. Gonna ride this flow like I'm San Marino. I'ma scar their face like it's Al Pacino. They adore my beats like they Tarantino. I'ma hurt their ego, see the light go white albino. I'ma fight Aikido, so they curse on the worst. I'm a menace to Beano. When it hurts like a nurse, I'ma cover them in stitches, mojito.
Like Gojo, he can't be that strong.
No, I feel nothing when I prove you wrong. Down in the depths where the scum belongs. Silly how I bang, then the dirt is gone. Don't know me, insane. Feel like a prince when the purple rain. Below me. They hate too gruesome, cut to commercial break. You wanna deal with a curse fast? Go just the man you call first. Hard like a beast, no panda. Look at my potential like I peep my manner. Hit him with a sucker just to teach them manners. You a spanner, and I can put you to work. Schooner, I don't need a demon inside of me, bitch. I am the god of this earth.
All who try for me, count your time, count your sheep. And should you die in your sleep, pray the Lord. Yeah, I'm running in blind, fighting out my mind. Yeah, it's my time, bring it down to the line. Running in blind, I ain't playing with my life. Fate on my side, and I ain't gonna die. Look my own eyes.
Yeah, but I don't even have to try.
Look at all the things sacrificed.
You wanna run, but you cannot hide. Life is a game and I'm rolling the dice. Don't wanna play, then get out of my sight. Better make way when I'm running in blind.
Life is a game and I'm rolling the dice. Don't wanna play, then get out of my sight. Better make way when I'm running in blind.